Everywhere on the walls of Palestinian buildings is the graffitied image of Marwan Barghouti, his handcuffed hands held defiantly above his head. A poll earlier this year showed Barghouti to be the man Palestinians most want to lead them. But for the fact there have been no parliamentary elections on the West Bank for 20 years, and Barghouti is serving 5 life sentences in an Israeli jail. At least there's now to be an election. 90-year-old Mahmoud Abbas has decreed that in November, a month after Israel goes to the polls, elections will be held for the Palestinian National Council and then the Palestinian Legislative Council that theoretically rule what's left of Palestinian territory on the West Bank. To discuss his father and the elections, I'm joined from Ramallah by Marwan Barghouti's son, Arab. Arab, welcome to Late Night Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
Arab, that elections have been called after all this time. Is this because the 157 countries now willing to recognise Palestine want to see something that actually looks like a properly functioning state?
Yeah, I think that's it. If you look at the Palestinian politics, we haven't had elections in 20 years. Which turns the whole political system as dysfunctional. Unfortunately, we don't have a parliament, we don't have a true political system, and I think it would be a shame after all the sacrifices of the Palestinian people not to have a political representation that is strong, that can build partnerships with the international community, that can bring the Palestinian state into reality. And I think as Palestinians, we are ready to become a full independent state. And I think a democratic process and democratic renewal is a great step into the right direction.
Arab, there are all these committees with all these initials and all these councils. And what actually matters here? Is it the Palestinian National Council? And what happened to it? I mean, it once functioned, it once had elections, but it's gone.
Yeah, I think if we go back to the Palestinian political history, the first representative of the Palestinian people was the PLO, which is the Palestinian Liberation Movement. The Palestinian Liberation Movement has its own parliament, which is called the Palestinian National Council. At the same time, there is, after the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian Authority has been established and it's become the administrative body of the Palestinian territories since then. And the Palestinian Authority has its own parliament, which is the Palestinian Legislative Council. We are going to have elections for the Palestinian Legislative Council that are report to the Palestinian Authority. And from there, we will elect 132 members for it. And then there will be added 67 other members to formulate the Palestinian National Council inside Palestine 67 and 150 other members outside of Palestine. And both are important, both have their own purposes, but I think at a moment where the Palestinian cause is under a threat of a full erasure, and I won't be exaggerating when I say that. If you look at what's happening in Palestine, I don't know to start to in the devastation and in Gaza or the settler terrorism in the West Bank and the fact that there's land theft every single day or the Palestinians that are living under discrimination inside Israel and Jerusalem or the millions of Palestinians in the diaspora unable to come to their homeland. And I think in order to move things into the right direction, we as Palestinians need to have responsibility and to have a great Palestinian political representation. And that can only happen with elections. And we shouldn't forget the presidential elections that are expected after a few months after the Legislative Council, which are going to be significant and very important as well.
Well, yes, let's get to that point, because these elections that have been promised in November are not to elect a leader for Palestine. Mahmoud Abbas is not standing for election in November. He's 90 years old. He's still there. He's still the leader. He's not standing for election.
Yeah, he's not, because it's a legislative council. And once we have the presidential elections, that's where we will understand who are the candidates, who's running for the elections. And the expectations are that they will happen in March. But I think also there is always that threat that the elections might be canceled or postponed, unfortunately, under the, you know, some justifications that the Israeli government is not letting the Palestinians inside Jerusalem to vote, or any other, let's call it frankly, an excuse not to hold them. So that's where I think the pressure of the international community, including the Australian government that just recognized Palestine less than a year ago, and I think it's a great position and step into the right direction. But as long as they're not supporting the application of the Palestinian state by supporting the democratic process and by supporting the leaders that can be partners for peace, which my father is the biggest name there, someone who has believed in the two-state solution in international community, negotiated with Israelis for years in the 90s, can be a great step in that.
Arab, I want to go back because I want to try to make this clear for our listeners. What would you regard as the Parliament of Palestine? Which of these councils are we talking about? What is the Parliament of Palestine going to be?
It's the Legislative Council that is part of the Palestinian Authority that had its last elections in 2006 and was basically dismantled after in 2007, and we haven't had a Palestinian parliament since.
Okay, look, a couple of other things. Will these elections be held in Gaza, or is this only for the West Bank? Will Hamas be allowed to contest these elections?
So in Gaza, of course, the answer is yes, and there is no way we accept any elections that don't include Gaza. Gaza is part of Palestine, and I think this is one of the purposes of these elections, which is to secure the political unity between Gaza and the West Bank. And I wanted to remind everyone that this is the position of all the Western countries, including Australia, European countries, and others who support the two-state solution based on the Palestinian state, on the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. Now, on the question of if Hamas will be allowed to participate or not, I think that Hamas made their position very clear that they're not participating directly with their own political names in the elections. So they made their choice there.
In fact, is Hamas trying to undermine the elections?
I don't think so. I think that the elections are going to be positive for everyone, and we're in desperate need for political renewal. As I said, like I want you to imagine, if you're 36 or under in Palestine, you've never voted before, let alone becoming a politician or having that path. And you can understand what that does to the morality of the Palestinian people and their trust in the political process and so on. So in order to rebuild that trust in the political process, so we can get to a point where we're ready for a political settlement and a long-term resolution with the Israelis, I think that the elections are the first great step for that.
Arab, who can vote?
Every Palestinian who holds a Palestinian ID, which includes all the Palestinians that live in the West Bank, in Gaza Strip, and of course the Palestinians that live in Jerusalem, that hold a temporary Jordanian passport with a Jerusalem ID. And in addition to that, hopefully we will have the Palestinians that got displaced from Gaza into Egypt and other places to give them the ability to vote, hopefully.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I am talking to Arab Baghouti about the forthcoming elections in Palestine. Now, Arab, what will your father's role in these elections be?
I think my father's role has always been a unifying figure, someone who will try to convince all Palestinians to register and to go and vote and to practice their rights of the democratic process. That's the first and most important thing for him. And the other thing is he will decide when we have an official date for the presidential elections if he's going to run. And that's always been his decision to make, and we will always support whatever decision he makes. And that applies on the Legislative Council as well, what he will support in terms of the lists and so on. He has a very clear political vision, and that's why he's been consistently the most popular leader for more than 20 years, someone who unifies the Palestinian people but also believes in women participation in power. He's been a big supporter of women's rights in Palestine, youth participation in power as well. And I think this is very important that he sees that in any list that he wants to support.
Why is he in prison?
My father has been in prison because he supported what has been called the Second Intifada, the Palestinian uprising in 2000. I want to remind everyone that he was a big supporter of the two-state solution. And as I said, like he did negotiate with many Israelis. And frankly, that's why you will find many Israeli officials nowadays and former, you know, ministers and even security heads in Israel calling for his release, because they understand that the only way for Israeli security is the resolution of the Palestinian question. And I can say that it's not only for the Palestinian, for Israeli security, it's for the stability and peace of the whole region. The Palestinian cause has proven that there is nothing called stability and peace in the Middle East unless there is an answer for the question of the Palestinian cause. And he supported the Palestinian rights of self-defense and resistance according to international law. Of course, he never supported the targeting of civilians, and he takes pride in supporting international law. And that's why the Israeli side tried to assassinate him multiple times, because he has become an effective leader and then kidnapped him from Ramallah and put him in prison.
But he was found guilty by an Israeli court of ordering the murder of civilians, was he not?
Yes, but the key word here is by Israeli courts. And I want to remind everyone that we're talking about a judicial system that has a 99.7% conviction rate against Palestinians. We're talking about a system that created a whole prison system for children and for kids. We're talking about a system that put at the moment, as we speak, 3,400 Palestinians are under administrative detention, which is illegal by international law, going to prison without any, without going to trial even. And with my father in specific, the Inter-Parliamentary Union issued multiple reports, and these are independent European lawyers who attended his trial and said it would be impossible to say that Marwan Barghouti has been given a fair trial. The judge called him a child killer in the second day of the trial. So that there's no way you can say that my father was given a fair trial.
As a potential leader of Palestine, he may find himself up against Mahmoud Abbas's son, Yasser. Do you see that as a future conflict?
I don't mind any conflict as long as it's under the umbrella of democratic free elections. As long as people want to nominate themselves or to run for the elections in the right way, the legal way, I don't really mind anyone running for the elections. To the contrary, I encourage everyone who sees themselves as leaders, and that's what democracy is all about. My father takes pride in the fact that he's never taken any position without being elected for it, including a parliament member, which he is at the moment.
As your father's son, do you see yourself taking a political role?
I don't think so. You'll never know what happens in the future. But, I have a business background. I was happy with managing a tech academy, teaching Palestinians how to become tech professionals and then find jobs for them. There are many ways to contribute to Palestine. My passion is Palestine and Palestinian children to live in peace and security, like my father. And I can contribute into that in so many ways. And of course, you know, in the last few months, I've been leading the way for the international campaign for his release. And it's been really going, expanding as a campaign, something similar to the Free Mandela campaign in the 80s. And hopefully this campaign will be one of the contributors of ending the apartheid regime on our land.
Arab, what is Israel's attitude to these Palestinian plans to hold elections?
I think that Israel's attitude is against any Palestinian representation, any Palestinian agency. They're after the UNRWA, they're after the human rights organizations that are supporting the Palestinian people. I think that we're facing the farthest right Israeli government in its history. And when we talk about Israel, they have, you know, a big competition there. But I don't think that we as Palestinians have ever witnessed the likes of Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, who are publicly calling for the killing of Palestinians, the execution law of prisoners, taunting, Ben-Gvir went on video and taunted my father inside an Israeli cell because he understands what my father represents to the Palestinian people. They are calling for the ethnic cleansing of the people in Gaza, in the West Bank, the land theft, and so on. So I'm sure they wouldn't support our elections.
But my question, Arab, is have the Israeli government made any statement about these election plans? Has there been any official response to the election plans?
Not that I know of. In 2021, we were supposed to have elections, and unfortunately, they insisted on the elections not happening then by preventing the Palestinians inside Jerusalem from voting, and no Palestinian leader can take that decision to go without the Palestinians in Jerusalem. But at the same time, there are other creative solutions, and I think that some of the countries of the international community are working on other solutions just in case that happens, to make sure that the elections go. Because as I said, if you want stability in the region, you need Palestinian political representation that the people trust, and hand over the whole political issue to them.
What is your sense of which party will dominate the Legislative Council after these elections? Will it be Fatah?
I'm not sure. The polls are not supporting that Fatah will do that. Fatah has been responsible for, you know, Fatah is my father's party. He's been a Central Committee member for many years, a Revolutionary Council. For 50 years, he's been a member of Fatah. And but at the same time, people like the ordinary people, and here I represent the youth, we see that Fatah dominated the Palestinian Authority, and unfortunately the Palestinian Authority failed to provide protection to the people. And on the other hand, Gaza has been ruled by Hamas, so there is a big frustration by the people towards all the political parties. I think that more than half of the Palestinian people do not identify with any political party, which is very interesting. So I think it's going to be new powers who rise into power in the elections. But of course, Fatah and the independents that are known are going to have their own position in the elections.
Indeed. Arab, thanks so much for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking to Arab Baghouti, son of Marwan Baghouti, about the upcoming Palestinian elections.